I just wanted to share that with you.
That's awesome.
Just anybody know the song lyrics more now that you're in Right Division? I do. Even the songs that they say are gospel songs, I listen to them and I'm like, that's not very gospel. It's weird how it happens, isn't it? All right, for our study today, and some of what we did earlier in the first session might be a little redundant, but I'm going to touch on something that when I first came to any knowledge of Right and Divide and the Word of Truth, I heard a message done by a very well-known grace preacher, and he took it from another grace preacher who had written about it, The Great Blunder of the Church. And the great mistake that's been made is when man went back and said the church, the body of Christ, started in Acts chapter 2. And I listened to that message, and this was way back when I first, like I said, before I ever even started teaching this stuff. And I listened to the message, I was like, man, this is I started seeing stuff, right? And I was like, he made that so simple that even I was able to understand it. I was like, he just laid it out like I'm going to lay it out to you this morning and show you how big of a ditch and how big of a hole that's been created for a Christian person today who wants to go back and believe that the church and body of Christ started in Acts chapter 2. How nonsensical it is. Anybody here, were you taught that? I was taught that the birthday of the church, right? Holy Spirit came down and right there is where the body of Christ got started. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you this. No church got started in Acts chapter 2. The church in Acts chapter 2 came out of the four Gospels with a little flock, assembled themselves of about 120 over there, and then the Holy Spirit came down on them, not because they became a church, but because they were a church and they were getting ready and preparing for tribulation, right? So what I want to do, you see the numbers on the board. What most people do with the book of Acts, they go into chapter 2 and pick out their favorite spots. But you got to understand something about the first seven chapters of the book of Acts especially. And that's why we have chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And I even threw in chapter 8 for a bonus. So there's no extra charge for chapter 8. Right? But here's the thing. You will not understand Acts chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 without going backwards into the book of Luke. So go back to the book of Luke chapter 13. Now, traditional church, traditional denominationalism, tradition of men, smart pedigrees otherwise, they teach that the church, the body of Christ, was started at Pentecost. Let me ask you something. Why would God take a bunch of Gentiles, who there's still a middle wall partition between them and Israel, and birth the church of Gentiles? Why would he birth them at a Jewish feast day? Already doesn't make sense to you, does it? So the church, the body of Christ, it was not birthed at Pentecost. Okay? There is a church at Pentecost, but it's not the body of Christ church. So when people see church, what do they do? It's all the same, right? No. Church is just a called out group of people. It's just an assembly. It has no meaning to be specific unless it states it's specific, right? This is specific because it is the church at Jerusalem. Do you think God Almighty started the church of Gentiles in Jerusalem? I don't. Right? So let's look at some information here that we have in front of us to see if we can't declare and clean up for us this fallacy of teaching that the church started in Acts chapter 2. All right? So go back with me to the book of Luke chapter 13. Chapter 13, look at verse 6. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So let's break down those verses. He spake also of this parable and said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and he sought fruit thereupon. The fig tree in the vineyard is Israel. All right, he came to seek fruit thereupon it. He said unto the dresser of this vineyard, behold, these 3 years. How long was Christ's ministry to Israel? 3 years. About 3 years. Three to 3.5 years. He come looking for fruit. The Bible says that he didn't find any. And he says, cut it down. Why cumbers the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, if not, then after that thou can cut it down. So when we come to the book of Acts, which you can turn there now, Acts chapter 1, what the parable is doing and what the parable is pointing to, it's pointed even after Christ is nailed to the cross, Israel says, let Barabbas go, kill Christ, right? They didn't say, let Barabbas go because they loved Barabbas. They said, let Barabbas go because they hated Christ, right? And so even after the three and a half years of looking for fruit on the fig tree and finding none, Christ is nailed to the cross, so the parable is pointing to Acts chapters 1 through 7 as a 1 year extension of God's mercy upon that nation. Now, you never got taught that in your previous church, right? You never were. So even though, what did Christ cry out on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? Here he had said, let it go one more year, and then if it don't bring about fruit, then cut it down. So the first 7 chapters of the book of Acts is showing you God's mercy upon that nation. Then, he could have brought wrath upon them there, but what does Stephen say? Don't hold it to their charge. And God Almighty, instead of bringing judgment and fire and indignation upon the world, in chapter 9, he says his chief enemy, and he gives unto him the revelation of mystery, how that's postponed, and he's going to bring in a dispensation of grace, which we're in now, and we have been for 2,000 years, but people just reject it. All right? So what we want to look at is for all the people who teach that the church began in Acts chapter 2, just how illogical that is. It can't be. Okay? So look at Acts chapter 1. Now remember, Luke wrote Acts. And where did we read the parable? Luke. All right? Luke wrote Acts. Luke wrote Luke. So you're not going to understand Acts correctly if you don't understand something about Luke. All right? Now watch. This former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, unto the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen. Who did he choose? The 12. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from where? Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he hath heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Right out of Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou this time restore again the kingdom to whom? All right. So in Acts chapter 1, who does it appear that the doctrine is applying to? Israel? The kingdom to whom? Israel? Luke's writing about what? Israel? The kingdom to Israel? Right? So in chapter 1, we see it's about Israel. Remember, if you have a nation that's above the other nations, in that you still have the middle wall of partition. So as long as you've got the middle wall of partition, where there's a difference between Jew and Gentile, you cannot have the body of Christ. The body of Christ was not begun and not started under a Jewish feast day in where Jew and Gentile are separated. The body of Christ is one body. It's not a nation, it's one body. So to say that the church, the body of Christ, got started in the early part of Acts chapter 1 and 2 is absolute fallacy. And the issue with it is it blinds people almost in some of them forever. They can never get away from it. They'll never get away from the early part of Acts teachings from Peter. All right? Now, God gave a mystery revelation to somebody. Who did he give it to? All right? So do you think that God Almighty started the mystery body of Christ under Peter?
No.
No, because Peter didn't get that revelation. It is very well documented and who the Apostle Peter is preaching to in early Acts. And all you got to do is be able to read your Bible. All right? Look at Acts chapter 2. From the point that you open up Acts chapter 1 to the point that you come to Acts chapter 7, what you're going to find is the apostles preaching to Israel. And then Israel falls out there in Acts chapter 7. That's where they fall. All right? So let's look here in Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 4. It's 120 of these people who went up into the upper room waiting on the promise that had been promised about the Holy Spirit coming up on them. So what's this? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, watch, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Here's how that's read to make it work that we're there. Okay? And there were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews and devout men out of every nation. What word did I add? And. That's not what the Scripture says. The Bible says that these men were Jews and they were devout men and they were out of every nation. Right? So hold with me because you get to see the nations that they come from. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because they heard every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, aren't all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, his own language, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. Say anything about Gentiles there? The proselytes would have been Gentiles who have proselyted themselves, but they would have been considered what? A Jew at that point. So do you see there who the audience was? It was Jewish. Peter's not preaching to a bunch of far-off Gentiles. Let me ask you a question. Everybody take a deep breath, because this would be difficult to answer. So you got to really think. If Peter's preaching to a body of Gentiles, why in the world did the Lord have to put him on a rooftop, starving so bad he'd have ate McRib, he'd ate chicken nuggets. He's on top of a rooftop, and God's trying to get him to go down to a Gentile, and Peter's like, uh-uh. No, sir, Lord. Wait a minute. The church got started at Acts chapter 2. Gentiles and Jews all over there, and Peter knows it. But in Acts chapter 10, Peter's like, I'm not going to a Gentile. They're unclean. Anybody remember the story? Is Peter confused in Acts chapter 2, or is the men who started the body of Christ confused? Peter's not confused. Peter knows he's preaching to the Israel. He knows he's preaching to the Jews. It's the guy on the corner down here with the steeple and the big paycheck, he's clueless about who Peter was preaching to. He's put himself in the audience. He's put you in that audience, and you don't practice anything that they practice over there. Right? You can't even find your gospel until you come to Paul. But the church got started in Acts chapter 2. Let me say this. If the church got started in Acts chapter 2, then the way into that church is to be water baptized, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. That would be the way to get into that church if the church got started in Acts chapter 2. Now, your Baptist brethren out here who teach that we're saved by grace through faith, right? Not by water baptism. They twist that around to say, repent, be baptized, for your sins have been forgiven. That's not what the Scripture says. You need to read chapter 3, right? So if you're going to put yourself in Acts chapter 2, you got to then throw out Paul's gospel and pick up the one that Peter's preaching. And Peter's preaching the one that come out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is called what? The gospel of the kingdom. Well, they're the same. Now, that's just because you want them to be the same. They're not the same. They're not even spelled the same. The gospel, the grace of God, ain't the same as the gospel of the kingdom. Right? Fifth graders can get this stuff, man. You just have to want to, you have to want to know what the Bible teaches and not what the doctor teaches. All right? Look in 2:9-11. We looked at the people that were there. Look over in 2:14. Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. Who does Peter think he's preaching to there? Judea? Jerusalem? Well, put that over here, Donnie. All right. Peter believes he's preaching to Israel. Look over in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Well, I don't know. People either can't read or they choose not to believe it when they read it. Peter says, you men of Israel, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. That don't sound like the gospel of grace. Sounds like a murder indictment. Sounds like shame. Does it? Look at 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know, it would be a big lie for me to sit and tell you that you crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You weren't there. You weren't a Jew. You were not the one screaming out, give unto us Barabbas. Who was? Israel. They're the ones that said, give us free Barabbas. Kill Christ. Away with such a man. We'll have no one but Caesar to rule over us. We'll not have that man to rule over us. All right? Who's Peter preaching to? Israel. Right? Is a body of Christ called guilty for nailing Christ to a cross? No. Paul says we glory in the cross. God forbid, save our glory in anything, save Jesus Christ, right, and the cross of Christ, whereby I am crucified in the world and the world unto me. Paul's got a whole different message about the cross, doesn't he? Right? We glory in the cross. It's been revealed unto Paul what was kept secret unto Paul, that we can now glory in the cross. There's no glory in the cross in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. There's no glory in the cross for the Jews. Peter's not preaching any glory in the cross. He's just not. And not only that, Peter never one time uses these words. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Never once does he use them. Peter said he was raised to sit up on the throne of David. Right? Well, that's just splitting hairs. Now, what it really is, it's taking the Word of God faithfully and believing it for what it says to whom it says it. Look back here at Isaiah chapter 44. We're going to read about this promise, this prophesied promise of the Holy Spirit. If I were to ask you a question this morning, how is He in you right now? By the Spirit, right? Let me ask you a question. Was Christ being in us Gentiles, was that in prophecy? Not according to Colossians. Hold Isaiah 44. Let me read this to you. Colossians chapter 1. Looking at verse 25. 1 and 25 of Colossians. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages, that means time, and from generations, that means men, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, what? The hope of glory. So Christ in us Gentiles was a mystery, but it's our hope of glory. But the Holy Ghost coming up on the little flock in Acts chapter 2 is in prophecy. Those two things are different. It was made known that God was going to send the Holy Ghost up on Israel. Look at chapter 44 and look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon thy dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they will spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. So, the pouring out of the Spirit up on the little flock, and us being baptized by the Spirit into one body, are not the same thing. So here, nobody was baptized into Christ as one body. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Right? In the Gospels, John was doing the baptizing. Right? In Acts, early Acts, Jesus Christ from heaven sent the Holy Ghost, the Father sent the Holy Ghost up on the little flock. He's doing the baptizing. In the dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit is doing the baptizing. See that? John baptized with water. Christ baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Spirit baptized us into one body. Three different things. Right? Three different ministrations of the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? Nobody back here was baptized into one body. These people were looking to become part of an earthly kingdom, a nation above all nations. Right? Anybody seen body talk in there yet? And you won't. All right? Let's look at some things here real quick. Go back to Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, the same thing that Peter is quoting back in Acts chapter 2, it presents itself as the prophet Joel spoke it. And what most people do in Acts chapter 2, they never go back to see what Joel said. If what Joel said is prophecy, and it's true prophecy because it's the word of God, who could Joel not be talking about? The church, the body of Christ. Why? Because the church, the body of Christ, is a mystery agency held back in God. So Joel chapter 2, look at verse 28. And it shall come to pass, afterward I will pour out my spirit. We saw that in Isaiah 44. Pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, and the blood and the fire and the pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be a deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall what call. So Joel is talking about this remnant group of believers over here that now receive what he prophesied of when he prophesied that God would pour His Spirit up on them as the remnant group of believers. The church, the body of Christ, is not the remnant. Amen? The remnant came out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John under the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. They appear in Acts chapter 2 to wait on the promise of the Holy Ghost. All right? So what is the promise? The Holy Ghost. What is the purpose? To get them through the 7-year tribulation period. What is Peter doing? He's proclaiming the last days of God's prophetic program to the nation Israel. With me? He's not proclaiming this is the start of a new church. He's proclaiming that the end is near. He's proclaiming that Jesus Christ is going to come back with vengeance. The sun, the moon, all the signs, all the wonders that Christ talked about in Matthew 24, all things are coming to an end. No, I believe it's the starting of the church, the body of Christ. Well, you're just stuck in tradition and you're not reading your Bible. All right, look over in Acts chapter 3. Tell you what, before we go to Acts chapter 3, back up to Acts chapter 2. And let's see what gospel Peter's preaching. Let's see what the instructions are that Peter gives these people. There's churches out here doing this today thinking they're going to get saved by it. 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that what your gospel sounds like? No. Peter's preaching that which come out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which he was taught in Christ's earthly ministry about the gospel of the kingdom. Now the addendum there is that they can receive the Holy Ghost over here if they'll do what Peter said, and the Holy Ghost is going to be there to empower them through until the second coming of the Lord through the tribulation. That's the purpose for it. Are you going through the tribulation? Do you need the Holy Ghost supernaturally taking care of you, moving you from here to there? What do you need? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Get your mind out of you being in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so on. Right? And believe what God gave you through your Apostle Paul, Romans 2, Philemon. Get the understanding of that, and then you can understand these things. So Acts chapter 2 is not the beginning of anybody's church. Not even theirs. It was already in existence. Peter confessed that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, you've well answered. But he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you, Peter. He said, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, up on this church, up on this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. What church? The kingdom church in the earth. And now we have the church, the body of Christ, which he gave unto Paul. Now you know why Paul, right? All right, look over in 2 and 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this outward generation. What generation are you talking about? A generation of Jews at that time. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. What doctrine were they holding fast to? Paul's not on the scene yet. Right? Paul said, if any man preaching a doctrine that I've delivered unto you and so forth, let him be accursed. Gospel, let him be accursed. Any other doctrine, he said, mark and avoid them. Right? Paul received a different set of instructions for the church, the body of Christ, because we're a heavenly people, not an earthly people. And for some reason, people want to cut those 13 books out of the Bible because it don't marry up with the fact that they think the church got started in Acts chapter 2 on a Jewish feast day. Do you know what those people at Ephesus would have said about that feast day? Who gives a flip? They wouldn't have cared. They wouldn't have cared if they'd have been roasting lamb over here. They wouldn't have cared if they'd been praying. They wouldn't have cared. They didn't care. They were Gentiles afar off. They were worshiping the goddess Diana, not having any clue about what was going on at Pentecost. The people that came up to Pentecost to worship at that feast, they had a knowledge of God in the feast. They had a knowledge of Israel. They were Jews, devout men out of every nation. Can you see that? And when they began to speak in tongues, languages, they could be understood. It wasn't gibberish. Right? So look here in 240, 241 and 2. Look at 42. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayer. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. When you got saved, did you join a commune? Did you take everything you had and cash it in and say, here you go, fellas, this is the way we're going to live. We're going to live like this till the Lord comes back. What's mine is yours, what's yours is mine, and so on and so on. Nah, you didn't. The body of Christ is not practicing this stuff, but yet you're told this is where the body of Christ got started. It's hogwash. It really is. Look here in 45. They sold their possessions. Let's see the pastors do that. You sell yours, because they'd like for you to sell yours. Give me 10%. And a love offering. And a Friday night and a Thursday night bump. And I'll mail you your tithing information. Don't forget, tithing season's coming. Amen. Well, send me a letter. Somebody send me a letter like that, boy. It'd be hard to hold grace in that. 45. They sold the possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily in one accord in what? The temple. Where were they at? Is the temple still there? Was it here? Yeah. What book you in? Huh? So guess what they were doing? Temple worship. Did the body of Christ get started in temple worship? I think not. It gets pretty easy, don't it? You just got to believe it. And breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. Well, there's the church. Yeah. He added to that church, the church at Jerusalem, daily, such as what? Were saved? Should be saved at his second coming. Amen? That's future. Look over chapter 3. Chapter 3, look at verse 11. It's talking about Peter and John. They go up to the temple. Look at that real quick. Look at verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee." I wonder why Peter didn't have any silver and gold. He gave it away, didn't he? Well, that's what we preach and teach today. Give away your silver and gold. No, we don't. We beg people for it, don't we? Huh? I talked to a fellow the other day. He said he left the church. He goes, "You know why I left?" I said, "Why?" He said, "I got tired of them begging for money so they could build a bigger building." I said, "Well, good for you." Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, notice that, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple. I wonder what they were doing up at the temple. Walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now watch. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel." Who's Peter preaching to in Acts chapter 3? He's preaching to the body of Christ. I think not. 3:11 says, and 12, he says he's preaching to Israel there. Go over and look in chapter 4. I'll try to shorten this up a little bit so we can get through it all. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, look at verse 5. "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas and his high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." Who's he preaching to and for? Go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, look down at verse 30. "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus Christ, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." Our fathers? He wasn't your father in time past. In time past, you were without God. You were without Christ in the world. You were alienated from God. You were without hope and promises and covenants. He's the God of the fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Watch, 31. "Him have God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to" who? "Israel, and forgiveness of sins." See that? So in 5, who's he preaching to? And about Israel. Did you see anything in there about you? No, you know why? Because you're not in there. You're still far off. You're not going to be made nigh until it's given to Paul that you have been made nigh by the blood of the cross. But you're not going to get that information until Paul gets that revelation and delivers that mystery to you. You're not going to know. Right? Look at chapter 6. Look in verse 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." Still got priests there, don't you? Where's that at? Jerusalem. Chapter 6. I bet that's the church at Jerusalem. You think? I bet it ain't the body of Christ. Right? Look at chapter 7. Chapter 7, Look at verse 51. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Who you think he's talking to there? Israel. Has anybody seen anything about one body? Gentiles in one body. It seems to me that the theme is a nation. And he calls them out all the way through. Look at chapter 8. This is the bonus. And Saul, there's that name now. Acts chapter 7, they murder Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is speaking to him through Stephen. They murder him. They had killed the prophets. They killed the son. They killed Stephen full of the Holy Ghost. They fall right there. They begin a diminishing right there. Right? And now we see a name that we haven't seen before here. And Saul of Tarsus here, was consenting unto the death. And at that time there were great persecution against the church, which was at where? Jerusalem. So where was that church at? Jerusalem. You know who was in that church at Jerusalem? Jews and proselytes. There was no Gentiles put into one body by the Spirit back there. Right? Then chapter 9, Saul's yet breathing out threatenings, and God meets him on the road. And he reveals unto him something new. What does he reveal to him something new? Well, let's look at some scripture here real quick. Go to 1 Corinthians in closing this morning. 1 Corinthians. Before you go to 1 Corinthians, hold your spot there in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 10. Speaking of Peter, at the sixth hour, goes up on a housetop to pray. Verse 10, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him. Y'all with me? 10:10. Verse 11, and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as he held had been a great sheet, knit at four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts and of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that was common or clean or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, What God hath cleansed, thou shalt not call common. This was done thrice, and the vessel received up again into heaven. And while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen would mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry at Simon's house and stood before the gate. So here's Peter still believing that the Gentiles are unclean people. They're still dogs. He's still operating under law. Acts chapter 10. But the dispensation of grace, body of Christ church, starting in Acts chapter 2, that is absolutely erroneous. Peter is still operating under Jewish law, does not believe that it's good for him to go down to anyone of another nation that is a Gentile. Right? Go over and look at verse 28, chapter 10, verse 28. Peter says to Cornelius, And he said unto him, You know how it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. When did Peter get that information? Up on that rooftop? When that sheet come down? God was showing him all the things that he had put in the Levitical dietary law that he could not eat. But he said, Now, Peter, don't call it unclean. I've cleansed it. So as I have, now that I'm going to open up a door unto the Gentiles. But Peter was preaching to Gentiles in Acts chapter 2. That's just lazy, just absolutely lazy Bible study. You just want to believe something some man says versus what God said. Look at chapter 11. So they say, well, what Donnie left out was when he sent them out to Judea and Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and the othermost parts of the world. That's what they did. Really? Look at chapter 11 real quick. Look at verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Who was their ministry to? Yeah. Who was it not to? You. Right? No place in the Bible. Peter is sent to Cornelius' house. There's no place in the Bible, go look for it, that Peter has ever said that I'm the minister of the Gentiles. I've been appointed as an apostle of the Gentiles. There's no recording of Peter after Cornelius going out to Gentile nations. But that's what they teach in tradition. They say Peter started a church at Rome. You know why? That's the religion. All right? So now go to 1 Corinthians. We'll wrap this up. When you start the church in Acts chapter 2, you're absolutely blinding the minds of people who come to that belief. You're absolutely holding them back from what God gave them through the ministry of Paul. Right? The church, the body of Christ, got its first member when Paul was put into it. In me first, states the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. See that? So the body language now is coming from somebody. Who is it?
Paul.
Paul is talking about the body. Peter was preaching to what? Thank you very much. All right, look at Galatians chapter 3. I don't do this to bore y'all, man. I do this so that you can see this thing and take it and help others. Galatians 3:26. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Were they being baptized into Christ in Acts chapter 2 and 3? They were being baptized into water. We're baptized into Christ, into the body, right? By the Spirit. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. See, now you no longer have separation. Now you no longer have that middle wall partition that says that Jew and Gentile have to be separated, but now they're one. Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Here's how we know that it wasn't known by Peter. 3 and 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Paul being the first one to get it, right? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by what? The gospel. What gospel? Paul's gospel. You see there, he didn't say you become part of a nation. You see, he didn't say you become part of a tree. You become part of what? A body. A body of believers. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Two chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We've already discovered there was three baptisms in Matthew 3 and 11 alone, right? All right. In closing today, and this is what I educate people now. I've got this simple. When people want me to sit down and try to help them, I get them to look at two verses. And here's what I say to them. If you can't see these two verses for what they say, I don't know that I would ever be able to help you. Romans 16, we see it every week. Romans 16, I'm going to show it to you though. Romans 16, grab Romans 16. When you get Romans 16, in the other hand, get Acts chapter 3. These are the final verses we're going to look at today, and I mean it. Romans 16, Acts chapter 3. What I know about Peter, by reading the Bible, Peter is preaching Christ according to prophecy. What I know about Paul in his writings, Romans through Philemon, he's preaching Christ according to the mystery. It's the same Christ, but there's two ways to preach Him. One is to preach Him according to the prophetic scriptures. The promised Messiah to Israel shows up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, born of a virgin, walked among them three and a half years. They crucified Him on the cross. Paul's preaching the risen, ascended Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 3. Verse 18. This is Peter. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all His holy prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. Was that according to prophecy? Yes. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When will they get their sins blotted out? At the presence of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. What? Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. You see that? All right. Romans 16, 25. Now to Him that has power to establish you according to my gospel, that's the gospel given unto Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now if a person can't see that those two things are different, you are absolutely not going to help them. Because something else is controlling their mind. If they can't see that one thing had been made known by all the holy prophets since the world began, and Paul says what I'm preaching was kept secret since the world began, if they don't want to see that simple truth, there's no moving forward. The Spirit of God is going to have to open their minds and hearts, and they're going to have to allow it. Right? So, in closing today, we can safely, securely, and assuredly say that the church, the body of Christ, did not start on a Jewish feast day. This was a nation waiting for the second coming of the Lord to the earth, which He had promised, received the Holy Spirit to empower them through the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. All 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 chapters of the early book of Acts, it's all to and about Israel and their earthly kingdom and God's bid for them to believe, and they rejected it. Instead of God sending judgment, He opened up a dispensation of grace, called out Paul, gave him that message to give unto you. That's why you find 13 books that all of them start off with Paul, an apostle. And many times He says apostle to you Gentiles, right? So easy to see if you really want what the Bible says. Hard to see if you want what your daddy taught you. Right? As one old boy said, this ain't your daddy's Bible. Right? This is God's Word. Okay? I know it offends people. Man, it offended me when I first saw it. All right? Let us close in prayer this morning. Father, we are so thankful for the Word. We're so thankful that we have seen the light on the Scripture, and we have seen how when you learn to rightly divide the word of truth, these things and these doctrines and these truths become clear, and we get our understanding of what you've made us in Christ Jesus. For all that you've done through, in, and by Him, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory. We thank you for the simple gospel message that you delivered unto our Apostle Paul, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, that if we would put our trust in His finished cross work, believe that message, personal, make it personal to ourselves that you died for my sins, rose again the third day for my justification, you would save us without anything that we could do out of ourselves. We'll give you the praise, honor, and glory. And everyone did say, Amen. Amen.